An extract from the book The Truth About Banking and GDP Growth by Mark Keenan, which is available on the website www.mkeenan.ie. An analysis of the debt money banking system. Point 1. The privately owned worldwide debt money system creates money from nothing and charges interest on it. Point 2. This system of outrageous privilege has provided the banks with massive profits for decades, all for free. A relatively small group of the worldwide population, less than 0.1%, in the banking industry and its corporate and political associations became extremely wealthy, while the rest of the people, governments and people that have taken out the loans, remain in debt and must work for the money the privately owned banks create from nothing. Point 3. The debt money / fractional reserve banking, usury system has detrimental consequences for worldwide society and the environment. Point 4. The real reason governments prioritize GDP growth is so that interest payments can be made to the international banking and finance system. Point 5. GDP growth is prioritized by governments and the banking system, but GDP growth, the associated debt money system, are significant drivers of environmental degradation, resource depletion, pollution and social inequity. Point 6. Without GDP growth, the international banking system and economic system fails. The banking system required GDP growth so interest to banks can be paid. Yet GDP growth causes environmental degradation. Point 7. Debt money and usury results in wealth and power for a tiny minority, financial burden for the masses and environmental destruction. Point 8. The banking system operates above the political system. The political system is subservient to the banking system. Point 9. The flaws of the banking system are not in the mainstream public consciousness. Point 10. Usury. The scam of charging of interest on debt money created from nothing should be abolished. Criticisms of the debt money banking system. It is well enough that people of the nation do not understand our banking and monetary system, for if they did, I believe there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning. Henry Ford, 1863-1947, founder of Ford Motor Company. Banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than private armies. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, the banks will deprive the people of all their property, Thomas Jefferson. The goal is control. They want all of us enslaved to debt, they want all of our governments enslaved to debt, and they want all of our politicians addicted to the huge financial contributions that they funnel into their campaigns. Since the elite also own all of the big media companies, the mainstream media never lets us in on the secret that there is something fundamentally wrong with the way that our system works. Karen Hughes worked in the legal department of the World Bank for more than 20 years and was senior counsel when she was fired for blowing the whistle on the corruption. It is obvious that on the finite earth, economic growth cannot continue indefinitely. Today, as economic growth falters, the defects and injustices of our banking system have come sharply into focus, and light has also been thrown onto the much too cozy relationship between banking and government. The collapse of banks during the subprime mortgage crisis of 2008 and their subsequent bailout by means of the taxpayers' money can give us an insight into both phenomena: the faults of our banking system and its infiltration into the halls of government. One feature of banking that cries out for reform is fractional reserve banking. That is the practice whereby private banks are in effect coining their own money and putting it into circulation, a prerogative that ought to be reserved for governments. Under the system of fractional reserve banking, profits from any expansion of the money supply go to private banks rather than being used by the government to provide social services. This is basically fraudulent and unjust. The banks are in effect issuing their own counterfeit money. John Scales Avery, an associate professor in quantum chemistry at the University of Copenhagen. The debt money banking system creates money from nothing. The debt money system involves the creation of money from nothing by central banks, such as the Federal Reserve in the US, Bank of England in the UK, etc. Each country has a central bank, and by the many commercial banks in each country in a process called fractional reserve banking. In this process, a central bank in essence gives the government in a country a check for the required amount, but the central bank does not hold that money as a deposit. The money is created from nothing as a debt that the government must pay interest on. The commercial banks lend money out to those seeking loans and mortgages. When the contract is signed, the bank essentially creates the money from nothing as debt. The capital plus interest must be paid back to the commercial bank. The commercial bank also did not actually have the money to lend. In the process of fractional reserve banking, the commercial banks can easily lend out 100 times the amount of monies they hold in deposit. In this debt money system, banks loan out money that they do not actually have. In times past, banks had to actually hold the money that they loaned out in reserve, that is full reserve banking, or had to hold gold in deposit. But the gold standard was dropped in 1971, meaning banks no longer had to hold gold in deposit either. Virtually all the money currently in circulation in the world was originally created from nothing by the banking system, and the banking system receives interest on all the debt money loans it issues. Receiving interest on debt money provided is known as usury. All of these loans were created from absolutely nothing. All the monies loaned by the banks did not exist before each loan was signed in contract. The banks never held that money in deposit in the form of money or gold or in any form. It was simply created from nothing that is printed into existence on a computer screen. This power to create money from nothing and lend it at interest to the governments and people of the world gives the privately owned banking system immense unearned power. The debt money system is referred to in the introduction to the Schumacher briefing Guy and Democracies Redefining Globalization and People Power by Roy Madron and John Jopling. Quote, "It is not widely known that almost all the money we use comes into existence, not by governments creating it, but as a result of a bank agreeing to make a loan to a customer at interest. Only about 3%, the notes and coins, is government made. The other 97% comes into existence as a debt owed by a customer to a bank. The effect of this is that our economies have to grow in order to avoid financial collapse. The debt money system is thus the driving force behind the economy. The risk of collapse forces governments to give priority to strategies that serve the money growth imperative, and in turn, these strategies produce the unjust and unsustainable form of globalization that we have today. The current political, economic system, the main components of which are described in Chapter 3 of Guy and Democracies, its systemic purpose is money growth in order to maintain the debt money system. It is held together by an elite consensus upholding the values and assumptions of the system. It operates by means of an armory of financial and legal instruments, transnational corporate capitalism, national policies, international institutions, opinion manipulation. It maintains intellectual respectability by means of theories such as neoliberal economics, national sovereignty, representative democracy, and command and control leadership. It operates through the big business government partnership dominated by bankers and a global leadership covering politics, finance, business, academia, and the media. This system, comprising all those components, is what we call the global monetocracy. As this system remains dominant, we will continue to see the detrimental consequences that flow from it. John Jopling, co-author of the book Guy and Democracies, end quote. This outrageous debt money system has become so ingrained in modern society is almost hardly ever questioned in mainstream media and is explained, not taught, in our schools. Furthermore, governments hardly ever mention that this method of allowing private banks ownership of the money creation process is unnecessary and contrary to the interests of the taxpayer and the public. The last U.S. president to address this issue was John F. Kennedy. In his administration, a bill was passed to place the money creation process back into public ownership. This bill was quickly reversed by the next president that took office. A documentary available online called The Money Masters provides an account of how the monetary system functions. See also Money as Debt, Fractional Reserve Banking series online. See also The American Dream documentary. The Federal Reserve System. The Federal Reserve System is the central bank in the U.S. Its actions cannot be overruled by government. It began in 1913 when, quote, the Federal Reserve Act let powerful bankers usurp the money creation authority in violation of the Constitution's Article I, Section 8, giving only Congress the power to coin money, and regulate the value thereof. Thereafter, powerful bankers used their control over money, credit and debt for private self-enrichment, bankrolling and colluding with Congress and administrations to implement laws favoring them. As a result, decades of deregulation, outsourcing, economic financialization, and casino capitalism followed, producing asset bubbles, record budget and national debt levels, and depression-sized unemployment far higher than reported numbers, albeit manipulated to look better. After the financial crisis erupted in late 2007, even harder times have left Main Street in the early stages of a depression, with recovery pure illusion. Today's debt contagion has spread out of control globally. Wall Street got trillions of taxpayers' dollars in a desperate attempt to socialize losses, privatize profits, and pump life back into the corpses by blowing public wealth into a moribund financial sector, failing corporate favorites, and America's aristocracy. While Wall Street boasts it has recovered, industrial America keeps imploding. High-paying jobs are exported. Economic prospects are eroding. Austerity is being imposed, with no one sure how to revive stable, sustainable long-term growth. Stephen Lendman, author of How Wall Street Fleeces America, end quote. When you or I write a check, there must be sufficient funds in our account to write the check, but when the Federal Reserve writes a check, there is no bank deposit on which the check is drawn. When the Federal Reserve writes a check, it is creating money. Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. Putting it simply, 1984. The Fed is an independent agency. That means basically that there is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take. What relations are between chairman of Fed and president of the USA don't frankly matter. Alan Greenspan, former Fed chairman. The government should create, issue and circulate all the currency and credits needed to satisfy the spending power of the government and the buying power of consumers. By the adoption of these principles, the taxpayers will be saved immense sums of interest. Money will cease to be the master and become the servant of humanity. Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln issued government money, but was later assassinated. Debt money results in wealth for a tiny minority and debt slavery for most people. Whoever controls the volume of money in any country is absolute master of all industry and commerce. When you realize that the entire system is very easily controlled, one way or another, by a few powerful men at the top, you will not have to be told how periods of inflation and depression originate. James Garfield, 20th President of the U.S., assassinated 1881. This system makes a small number of people at the upper echelons of this international system extremely wealthy and makes debt slaves of the countless millions or even billions of individuals that take out the loans. As a result of this flawed system, a very small fraction of the people on Earth, a few hundred people that are all connected, own and control the banking system and own and control the major corporations of the world, own and at least 50% of the financial wealth of the world. The middle class and poorer classes are very often shackled to debt repayments for life and work for decades, like hamsters on a wheel, to make enough money to pay the bank interest payments. Many people may lead happy lives, but much of their time is spent earning enough money to repay debt plus interest. As a result of the interest component, the total sum repaid often amounts to around twice of what was originally received in the loan. If the concept of interest was abolished, obviously the hundreds of millions of people that have signed these loan contracts could spend much more time on what really mattered to them in life rather than perhaps working twice as many years as would otherwise be required to pay off a loan or a mortgage. While the few at the top of this flawed system become immensely wealthy, the vast majority of the people worldwide live in the so-called middle class, lower class, poverty or extreme poverty. Meanwhile, the resources, biodiversity and ecosystems our species relies on, continue to be consumed or destroyed by the worldwide system of GDP growth and debt money system that drives and compels that growth. The so-called elite private banking political orthodoxy that essentially controls the worldwide financial system wants to retain the current GDP growth system. Within the GDP growth paradigm, terms like sustainable development, sustainable growth and the green economy, which mainly on focus resource efficiency and greater asset management only, are little more than greenwash buzzwords, and in environmental policy terms are ineffective in reversing the worldwide trend of environmental degradation. The so-called powers that be don't care what kind of words describe the economy as long as GDP growth is maintained so that the banks continually get paid interest. As this debt money system and drive for GDP growth continues unabated, the Earth's natural resources are plundered and taken essentially for free by the huge corporate and governmental entities of this flawed economic system. The debt money system has detrimental social and environmental consequences. 1. First, it gives the banks massive profits all for free. A relatively small group of the worldwide population, less than 0.1%, in the banking industry and its corporate and political associations become extremely wealthy, while the rest of us, governments and people that have taken out the loans, remain in debt. So the debt money system automatically ensures that financial inequality is bound to increase, not due to services provided or personal services rendered to society, but due to an outrageous privilege to create money and charge interest on it. They have an outrageous privilege in which they are, in effect, able to create, print endless amounts of money that they don't actually hold and lend it out at interest. Quote, bank profits from this source alone in the USA, UK, Eurozone and Japan are about $140 billion per year in in 2003. It is quite outrageous that the banks should have this power. Counted among public figures that have been bold enough to object are three US presidents, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and Franklin Roosevelt. Its many critics amongst economists have even included Milton Friedman, a favorite of Margaret Thatcher and the American right. That the governments of Western democracies permit the banks to continue to enjoy this massive subsidy, and for this extraordinary privilege to be off the agenda of public debate, is a tribute to the power of the elite consensus, extract from the global monetocracy by Roy Madron and John Joplin. End quote. As a consequence of the interest received by the end of the loan contract, for example a mortgage, the bank has typically received around twice the total sum money that was originally loaned out. My understanding is that the capital part is written off the balance sheet and the bank has made a sum of money roughly equal to the sum that was loaned out, even though the bank never possessed the money in the first place. That is, the numbers were simply typed on a computer screen and transferred to the debtor's account when the debtor signed the loan contract. To my knowledge, the capital part of the debt money loan is only written off the bank's balance sheet when the capital part is repaid in full. However, the interest payments are divided in a manner whereby part of each payment goes toward the capital and part toward the interest, so the capital portion is often not officially paid off even when the debtor has paid substantially more than the amount of the original loan. 2. 97% of the money in the world is debt money created from nothing by banks in order to create profits. Issues such as justice and environmental sustainability are irrelevant in the lending process. All that matters in this system is the debtor's ability to create more money and pay the bank the capital plus interest. 3. Economic GDP growth, which results in environmental destruction and resource depletion, is continuously required so governments, companies and individuals can repay debts and interest to banks, otherwise the economy will collapse. Remember, the banks created the debt money from nothing. The need to create continuous growth to maintain this flawed financial system means that society is in essence trapped on a continuous treadmill, not just to generate funds to live but to also to pay back the money and interest to banks. One then has to ask, why should only a small section of the global population acting as bankers own and benefit from the extremely lucrative money creation process at the expense of everyone else? Quote, in industrial countries, between 18%, Sweden, and 26%, Japan, of each year's total output is plowed back into investment projects. If in any year this figure falters, the economy risks entering a downward spiral. The fact that the necessary growth can be achieved only by increasing the total level of debt makes the economy heavily dependent on confidence. People borrow when they are optimistic about being able to repay with interest. Businesses borrow when they want to expand. Confidence in the future is self-fulfilling. So is the lack of it. The economy therefore constantly moves between boom and bust. It is systemically unstable. Consider what happens if growth slows or stops. First of all, unemployment appears. Firms that invested in the past in the expectation of increasing sales find themselves with surplus capacity, and consequently cancel further investment projects. This puts the people who would have designed, constructed and equipped them out of work. So for the government, no growth or slow growth means rising unemployment and, as a result, higher social welfare bills. Also, because wages, turnover and business profits fall away, it means lower tax receipts. The public finances go into the red, and the government has to choose between increasing tax rates or borrowing, thus increasing the national debt. The policies of the party in office lose all credibility, making it unlikely to be returned at the next election. The possibility of a downward spiral is a prospect that terrifies governments. That is why, whatever their political color, governments try to work closely with the business sector. In this way, they can ensure that, regardless of any social or environmental damage, the economy continues to grow. The debt money system thus forces governments to put the imperative for short-term growth above long-term considerations, such as the widening inequalities gap or humanity's relationship with Gaia. In systems thinking terms, the growth imperative imposed by the debt money system is a positive feedback mechanism, a vicious spiral. Gaian Democracies, Redefining Globalization and People Power by Roy Madron and John Jopling, end quote. 4. This boom and bust cycle means that the economic system is unstable by nature, not stable. 5. When you get a mortgage, loan or a credit card, the debt money is created out of thin air when you sign on the dotted line of the contract, yet you will have to pay it all back to the bank plus interest. This often results in a lifetime of debt slavery as people work their whole lives to pay the bank money plus interest on money that the bank never possessed in the first place. This fraudulent banking system, scam, is a subtle form of slavery, in which the banks get rich while everyone else is forced to generate enough funds in order to pay capital plus the interest payments. Most people are then required to work most of their lives to repay debts plus interest, and often mired in a treadmill of debt, akin to hamsters on a wheel, must work in jobs that are part of this environmentally destructive system. Many people are existing to serve a global boom-bust economy that primarily serves a flawed and unjust private banking monetary system in which private banking profits are the main priority, whereas a real just and sustainable economy should exist to serve the people and respect the sustainability of the natural resources upon which we rely. In the flawed pseudoscience of contemporary economics and GDP accounting, the people of each nation are accounted for and described as mere production and consumption units that serve this flawed economic system. 6. Vastly excessive consumerism is required so that the so-called economic system continuously enough products so that GDP growth levels are maintained, and consequently people strongly encouraged via advertising etc. to be part of a materialistic society, rather than being part of a society that values environmental sustainability, fairness, cooperation, fair distribution of resources, and individuation, the development of each person's happiness, well-being and natural talents. For decades, society has been encouraged via corporate media advertising to purchase and consume as many goods and services as possible in order to keep this flawed system going. However, A real economy should exist to serve the people and the environment, not to serve a relatively small group of people that own and control the vast majority of the shares of the banking corporations. 7. The economy is blind to the limits of the natural world. Massive amounts of the world's resources are consequently utilized by corporations to make products, many of which are not needed and the majority of which result in environmental degradation through production and disposal processes. All this is done a part of the worldwide operations to keep the economic GDP growth machine going so that the international banking system can receive the interest that is paid to them from national governments and so that commercial banks in each country can receive interest on loans that were issued to companies and individuals. The resources, biodiversity and ecosystems our species relies on, continue to be consumed or destroyed as governments relentlessly pursue GDP growth and corporations relentlessly pursue profits. Natural resources are continuously and excessively extracted and destroyed by society in order to create money and profit to pay back the banks. Result: the environment upon which human society relies on for all its food, water and materials is progressively destroyed. Quote: humanity is cutting the branch upon which it sits. Dash Satish Kumar, end quote. Quote: only when the last tree has died and the last river been poisoned and the last fish been caught will we realize that we cannot eat money. 19th century Cree Indian. End quote. 8. If sufficient loans are not repaid to a commercial bank, it will become insolvent. This has happened in many countries, for example in Europe in 2008. Bear in mind that these so-called banks never held the original monies in the first place. The national government often then intervenes to bail out those commercial banks under pressure, is directed to do so, from the international banking system, e. is directed to do so. See Appendix C. European Central Bank, ECB, says a bomb will go off in Dublin if Anglo bondholders are not paid, says Minister Varadkar, and note the letter sent by the ECB to pressure the Irish government in relation to the bailout, which has never been officially released. Over the past decades, many governments have bailed out private banks, that is, transforming massive banking debts into yet more government debt. Consequently, a national government often must seek financial assistance from the international banks or bond markets in order to pay for debts of the failed commercial banks. The people of the country involved are then typically unjustly saddled with the burden of covering the massive costs of these debts when these were not their debts in the first place. This results in increased taxes, national austerity measures and/or the loss of national assets due to conditionalities on credit. For example, in Ireland the government must pay around 8 billion per annum in interest on the national debt to the interest banking system, bond market. Much of this debt was incurred due to bailing out private commercial banks in Ireland in 2008. 9. The total debt in the worldwide financial system is always greater than the amount of money in circulation and can never be fully repaid. Quote: all money is borrowed into existence. It doesn't exist until someone borrows it. It is debt-based money, hence it is not really money, since real money is based upon substance, gold, silver, etc. If money is borrowed into existence, then that is all that exists. So where is the interest? It doesn't exist. How can it possibly be paid? It can't be fully paid because it is not part of what is created. It simply does not exist. The currency we use is based upon our future labor, which the feds have promised to the bankers. It also does not exist yet. Future generations are already enslaved to pay a debt which does not exist. Mary Elizabeth Croft, end quote. Virtually every government in the world has a huge level of national debt. The massive total debt incurred by governments of the world cannot ever actually be fully repaid, as there is always more debt in the system than ability to repay, money in circulation. Virtually all the countries of the Western world are in massive debt totaling many trillions of dollars, possibly quadrillions according to some, if the financial instruments known as derivatives are included. For example, in the US student debt is around $1.2 trillion. About the same as the military budget, personal debt, loans plus credit cards plus mortgages, comes in over 13 trillion, 2017, Investopedia, government debt is over 22 trillion which can only be paid off with hyperinflation or destroyed in a major recession slash depression. 10. People's savings become worthless as more debt money is continually issued by central banks. This is known as inflation. Overall result, the international banking system and its political and corporate affiliations becomes ultra-rich and 99% of the people in all countries have to pay the unjust price of interest on money created from nothing. Meanwhile, the natural environmental resources of land, air, water, forests, and minerals becomes depleted and degraded due to unnecessarily increased GDP growth as it was only needed to pay the private banking system.